And this is Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible. It's 80 days to the presidential and parliamentary elections. Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to The Pulse. My name is Elton Robin. Now, this afternoon, it's been a week since government got the rude awakening from organized labor and the media coalition against Galamsey. But have the steps been taken for us to address the issues? Are they satisfactory? The groups are currently assessing this and the option for further action to deal with the Galamsey crisis. We are there, plus a push from pressure group Fix the Country movement with demonstrations and a demand for the dismissal of the Lands and Natural Resources Minister.
To the devastation caused by Galamsey, and we have allowed corruption and greed to destroy our natural resources. They have failed in their duties and they must go.
And in the studio here, we've got up close and personal with the chief, who is crying for help as he says the Galamsey situation is getting out of hands in his community. Rastasari Donkop is also back from Samra Boy in the Western region. We'll tell you what he found.
Anywhere you reach in the forest or at bush, you just get a stream. You sat down there and drink, but now you can't get. You can't get those streams.
Also coming up, PRC warns of ECG's potential bankruptcy in a letter to the presidency and the energy minister with national security implications, urging deeper introspection and structural reforms beyond tariff hikes, the privatization considered a key option. And of course, we've got these plus others. Today's edition of The Pulse brought to you by Global Communities Digilu, affordable safe sanitation for all. If you are watching us on DSTV, you are definitely on channel 421. GoTV is 125. Follow us on Facebook, YouTube. We are also live on X and, of course, myjoyonline.com. My name is Elton. But when we settle, we'll start off on Galamsey. Welcome back, get interactive with us. As always, I want to know your solution for this rather existential threat. This afternoon, there's more pressure on the Lands and Natural Resources Minister Samuel Abujinapo to resign or be sacked. Here's one of several heads of state agencies targeted in renewed battle to end illegal mining, now at a crisis point. We'll hear from the Fix the Country movement, which has announced a series of actions to demand an end to illegal mining.
Are not separate issues. They are all symptoms of a governance system that has failed. The only way to end Galamsey, to ensure economic stability, and to root out corruption is to demand systemic reforms. We need a new social contract, one that prioritizes transparency, accountability, and the well-being of all citizens, not just the wealthy and powerful. Demands holding leadership accountable. We are not just calling for an end to illegal mining. We are calling for the resignation of those who have allowed this crisis to fester. We demand the immediate resignation of the following officials: the Minister for Environment, Science, Technology and Innovation, the Minister for Lands and Natural Resources, the heads of the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, the Minerals Commission, and the Forestry Commission. These are the individuals who have failed to protect our environment. We have turned a blind eye to the devastation caused by Galamsey, and we have allowed corruption and greed to destroy our natural resources. They have failed in their duties, and they must go. We also demand a full independent audit of all mining licenses granted in the past 5 years. With the results made public, the time for secrecy is over. The people have a right to know how their resources are being managed and who is profiting from their destruction. A call to action. The future is yours to shape, but this doesn't have to be our future. We can break the cycle. We can demand a new social contract, one that holds leaders accountable, that prioritizes sustainability over short-term gains, and that places the well-being of every citizen at the forefront of governance. We can demand a new constitution that ensures transparency, limits the powers of those in office, and creates systems of accountability that prevent the greed and corruption that have brought us to this point. I say to you, rise up, young people of Ghana. Rise up and take your place at the forefront of this movement for change. Rise up and demand a government that works for you, not against you. Rise up and be the voice that says Galamse must stop.
So we are getting up close and personal with the chief of Adel Sena in the Eastern Region, and Dr. Bonnie Abankro, who is also now very helpless in dealing with Galamse activities in this area. Before we get to all that, let me bring you Rasta Saridonko's latest report from Samra Boy in the Western Region.
2022, Joy News captured this mining site belonging to Akonta Mining Limited, whose mining residue was being directed into the Tano River.
First, anywhere you reach in the forest or at bush, you just get a stream. You sat down there and drink, but now you can't get those streams. So in fact, our river bodies all has destroyed.
Just behind you is the Tano River. How do you feel when you see it?
In fact, how does the government feel?
Subsequently, we also captured some Chinese miners washing mining residue into the Tano at Boya and Bena, close to Samra Boy in the Western Region. Close to 2 years after our report, the criminal act is still being perpetrated by miners along the Tano River. Alhaji Salisu Muhammad Abu is an opinion leader at Samra Boy.
If you look at the way the government has left people, government saying that he will put his presidency on Galamse, illegal mining. In fact, it's rather worse. This is a campaign regime. We have been hearing promises, but we have no future. These forests and our water reserves. People are saying in 10 years time or 5 years time, never. If this will continue, at least in 2 years time, a change of government will come and this will still continue. I don't think we have future, Ghana.
This footage shows a mining site located on the edge of the Tano River, washing its residue directly into the river at Samra Boy. The river is highly polluted. Tests conducted by our team registered 0.346 and 0.187 milligrams per liter for arsenic and chromium, an increase of 592 and 274% respectively, compared to World Health Organization's accepted levels of 0.050 milligrams per liter. Reporting for Joy News, Erastus Asaridonko, Samra Boy, Western Region.
So there's a matter that obviously is of concern to everybody. The Minister for Lands and Natural Resources is among a five-member committee set up by government to assess what has been done so far. Also listen to the concerns of civil society groups. That committee is chaired by the National Security Minister, Albert Kandapa. Remember also today that the ministry took some action against a mining company in the Western Region. We'll have that details for you shortly. But let's get to understand those who are living it in their communities and how the activities of illegal mining is impacting their daily lives. In the studio with me is Nana Dr. Bonnie Abankro, the fifth. Nana, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Chief of Adel Sena.
Thank you.
So first, where exactly is Adel Sena located?
In the first place, let me take this opportunity to say good evening to your cherished viewers. Mm-hmm. Adesina is located in the Brimunov district, mm-hmm. in the eastern region, between Nkoko and Ofuanse.
Mm.
It's just borders with New Ebrim. Yes, we have a common border with New Ebrim. And Adesina has a big stew land. It is one of the biggest stew lands in eastern region. It's about 102,000 acres, all infested with gold. I border with Nkwatin, I border with Pankese, I border with Tiewia, and I also border with Esum. All those, with the exception of Ebrim, who was given accommodation from other areas to be settling there before 1704. So Adesina owns all the land, including the one which Nimon is mining on. Nimon is just mining 5,000 of the total 102,000 acres. So that is where Adesina is.
Then life must be very comfortable at Adesina.
Yes, currently we were comfortable until 1.5 years ago when the gazette of the almighty paramount chief was given to him after 25 years. Then the whole thing turned up, tits up. It was unnecessary bullying, intimidating, insults, and threatening everybody, having setting up task forces and going on the line himself and doing the galamse himself.
Who exactly is this,
Mr.? The paramount chief of Kotoko. Yes. He himself is doing the galamse. And even the concession belonging to Aseni was taken from him because he feels he owes the land. So I was compelled to take him to court to let him come and prove the ownership of the land, which he failed. So there has been a judgment against him, default judgment against him. And yesterday, I asked my lawyers to issue an interlocutory injunction on all the galamseyes on my stew land, because we don't have even common water to drink. And we have given the pictures to our friends of the media to show the world. It is going on Facebook and everywhere that never in the history of my reign will I allow somebody we helped, somebody we supported, somebody we have paid the royalties for the past 25 years to come and destroy our land with impunity.
And you say that this chief, whatever he's doing, you know this for a fact, there's evidence to back it.
His task force were the one going around to take money from the galamseyes. The galamseyes go to his palace and pay money to him. Others, they pay through his task force he has set. They go about with guns, and he has armed the galamseyes. Everybody comes. And he doesn't even come from there. He migrated to Achim. We housed him. We hosted him. My ancestors went into captivity because of him. However, due to our humility to the Ashantis, they came back in 1898 to establish the Asantia Desna gold mines. We were taken into captivity in Ashanti near Antwa. So if you go there, we have Asantia Desna and Asantia Brim. After investigation, the Ashantis found out that Adesina was in the corporate. We pleaded with them and we were released. To compensate us, they came back and established gold mines for us in 1898 when the Obuasi people started in 1897. So we were mining on the land. We had 6 concession companies. Concession 1 had 3 companies, Wallis, Hollis, and Killing. The other concession 2 have Grammar, Abafeldi, and Kamba. So all the land, there's gold on the land. That is where they were mining before the First World War, because the Germans were the miners, and they were not doing surface mining.
Okay.
So from their exploration, the deposit becomes richer as you go down. So they were not doing surface mining, so we didn't feel the destruction of the environment. We didn't feel the destruction of our river bodies.
Because back then, it was well controlled.
Well controlled and well managed. But with the galamse being a fashion in Ghana now, it is out of control.
We'll come back to that, but let me just say that the other matter about the chief, we cannot independently verify, so we'll leave it at that. But it begs the question whether a former report has been made to the police about the activities of this chief?
A lot of reports have been made to the police. The first time he wanted to get rid of me on the 8th of April, when he came to my community to demand, when the emergence of Nimond allow us to make allocation for them to also develop their community. Each community has a portion. So our overlord was given a portion. So we were thinking that since he hasn't built his palace, and he went and demolished the palace, we were going to support him. On the 9th of November 2023, I signed a document for the foundation which Nimon has established for my people to take part of our developmental funds to help him build his palace. He came out with the drawings, and cost came out about 4 million Ghana cedis. Mm. Because of inflation, we raised it. I'm a civil engineer by profession, and this is something I've been teaching as a professor. So we increased the money to 6 million. And
he, for the construction of the palace.
Palace, yes. And he had already 4 million in his pot. He also had about 10 million in royalties. Mines too, Adesmes too, has paid as royalties to him, which is in Koforidua at the Stu Land Administration. I asked the Stu Land Administration to invest the money because the city was depreciating, and they will be able to get about 26-27% per annum on their investment. So all this money has been accumulated with the notion that he will take the money which is allocated to him. He came and wrote a demand for almost 4 million. First one was about $100,000 in today's equivalent, which is 1.6. He came back in early March and took another 2.4. He squandered it without even the Kotoku Traditional Council. That is their problem.
All right. So basically, in your traditional area, there is Newmont that is doing legitimate mining.
Yes.
And then other people are also undertaking illegal mining.
Because they saw that the land is rich.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the benefit of Newmont to our community.
Mm-hmm.
Newmont is producing about almost $1 billion in the earlier part when they started a year as part of the income from my Stu Land.
Mm.
And royalties are paid to the government, taxes are paid to the government. Besides the royalties, Nimon pays ecological levy, which we use for our development, for the palaces, for the schools, for the social center, all the sporting activities. Mm. That is what we are using the money for. In fact, my district, Brim North District, we were not having problem at all.
Until
this man Gazette was given. So what he came out with, after taking the 4 million and doing the galamsey himself without anybody questioning his authority, he decided to use police and his task force to demand things. The first thing he wanted to do is to come and demand the endowment policy we have put there for the generation. We have over 5,000 scholarships. He wanted to take the money, irrespective of the scholarship, everything, to go and first of all build palaces, build housing for his citizens, and also build factories. But the minimum you took, 4,000, you squandered it without anybody asking you a question. Now, sovereignty is given to him by the family. It is the family who then put injunction on the rest of the money so that he wouldn't discover squander the money. Two, he himself is the one leading the galamsey. I'm there. And he's threatening everybody with the tax force. They are fully armed. That is why we said enough is enough.
Mm.
We are not going to sit down because you didn't come with land. They are dangerous, you know, they are goodness. They were running away from the Ashantis. You didn't bring land when you were coming. We housed you. We accommodated you and we supported you. We will not sit down supinely for you to destroy our land.
So currently as you speak, how devastating is activities of illegal mining in your community?
All the river bodies now are destroyed. Some of the mining is so close to the communities that if you throw water, it goes straight into the mining pit. From your house,
mm-hmm.
the resettlement, people who were affected by the mines and they were decanted, the company
affected
built
by the Newmont mines, right.
They accommodated, they built a very nice accommodation with roads and all. All those areas have been destroyed by the illegal kalamzeyas because the gold is everywhere.
And you are helpless in this situation.
We are helpless. But then, first of all, we went to court and has issued an injunction on the paramount chief and the galamzeyas. It was done yesterday. Now, as soon as we get a copy, we will invite the army, we will invite the jungle fighters at Achiansi, we will invite the police, I will finance it, they will go and drive them
in
away.
In fact, there's actually a directive. The regional minister we spoke to on Monday,
yes,
Sete Champon, says that they've started the deployment, so they are using the police.
Haven't they done it before?
So from your experience, what should be
Will you
now?
Sit down? I'm asking you, will you sit down in my position? I've been given the sovereignty by Adriana people of Adelsina.
Mm-hmm.
They knew my ability as a retired professor, a doctorate degree, Three master degree holders, you've retired. They're giving you responsibilities. Look at my size. With all this experience, you sit down for somebody supinely to come and destroy your land. Then you sit down. If the government, the same government who sat down for this thing to be destroyed, is coming telling us today after almost eight years to come back again, I will not sit down to wait. I need their support. And if they don't do it, from the tiniest toddler to the oldest granny, we'll go on the field and get them out.
And what's the plan?
We are going there to get them out.
The legal miners.
The legal miners, including every one of them. We are going there.
Do you have an idea how many people are involved?
We know
in
them.
In terms of the groupings.
We brought the army with the drones to go and take the pictures. And we have our people on the ground investigating how best. If you fail to plan, then you plan to fail.
Right.
So I'm not going to sit down for them to destroy it. It will go against me that during my reign, I sat down supinely for my environment to be destroyed. Apart from the environment, on the 8th of April, there was a research done in Domahinkru. It was a geological day.
In the Bono region.
Yes, Bono region. And in that present, there was a presentation where Cape Coast Hospital was used as indices.
Mm-hmm.
And it was observed that 80% of the people who are on dialysis are from the mining areas. 80%.
Suffering kidney complications.
Kidney problems, yes. They are from areas where the mining effluent from the mines are properly controlled, monitored, tested before the effluent are discharged into the river bodies. If they are having this, then my people are sitting on time bomb.
Mm.
God is going to ask me, what did you do with the responsibilities I gave you? God gave me that responsibilities to take my people out, achieve something purposeful, and bring it back. That is what God gave leaders. Numbers 27. So that is my responsibility.
What's the main water source?
We have Pra River is there. It's totally destroyed. We have Mamai River. It's totally destroyed. We have Brim. It's totally destroyed. You cannot even take the viscosity of the river. It's more than what you think of. It's more than oats.
So in the midst of this destruction, to what means are they getting water, portable water to drink and use for other things?
The emergence of Nimond helped us to get borehole water with treatment plant. In fact, my community has one of the best water systems in Ghana.
Mm.
They gave us a good filtering system. We have a borehole. And then they have charcoal, everything. They've done some scientific analysis where the water is properly sieved.
Mm-hmm.
It is pumped and filtered before it is distributed to all the communities, to the people. So that is what we are using.
Mm.
Apart from that, those people who live after the Adesina town, they are suffering. They used to drink from the rivers, and it used to be very cool, very nice. Farmers, all those people go and they drink it. Today, they dare not. They cannot.
Are they really aware of the health implications?
They are very aware. And so another aspect of it is that it is bringing about the production of water, sachet water, and all those
things. Even that the questions have been raised about the quality of the, we've done a documentary, that the smoothie, some.
Yes, diarrhea and dysentery, mm-hmm. when you drink those ones, it's very, very fearsome.
Mm.
So we are desperately in need of government coming to our... If the government will pay attention to our area, and we want the government to call the paramount chief to action, because without him, the people will be afraid to do it.
But you, all of you go to the Eastern Regional House of Chiefs.
Yes.
And you are saying that this matter, it doesn't come up at all?
No, it doesn't. Look, I'm on national TV, and therefore anything I say, I need to back it.
Right.
With facts. It is one of the weakest entities I've come across, both national,
the Eastern Regional House,
and then also the national.
They are aware and failing to address it.
The purpose of which this, well, how do you give this man a gazette if you have this characteristic like this? His gazette is being even questioned. You see, the system needs to be changed, and some of the youth, some of us, we have to stand up to these things and make sure such an enviable establishment need to be trampled upon. It is bent on the family who gave the man the sovereignty for him to question. However, they are so adamant, and the way he is, most of them are afraid. My sub-chiefs in Brimnov, when the Ebrim chief, who is his now, his this, when he shouts, you find people with doctorate degree and professors and all shaking like water in a jug. On the 1st of May, I was almost assassinated if I had gone to the palace. I refused, and I wrote a petition to the IGP about the, his own bodyguard exposed them, because they found out that I'm the only person who is an obstacle to their achievement. Mm. It is total morbid lust for money, no care, nothing, no compassion, no empathy on the people. Mm. All what he came for, my pocket. The money he took from this, the foundation, he didn't build the palace. If you ask his sub-chief, I want you people to interview his sub-chief, whether even he gave any of his sub-chief 10,000 this in here.
So apart from Newmont, that obviously they have license to mine.
Yes.
Are there small-scale miners also licensed to undertake mining activities in your traditional area?
Not in my area. I haven't seen any sort of small-scale mine. You see, the mining regulations, you are supposed to go and enter into agreement with the surface right owner. Mm-hmm. I haven't entered into agreement with any surface right, anybody coming to me. They know that I'm against Kolamzi, so they won't come to me. They are supposed to go to the district assembly. They won't go there. But the man himself, the overlord, is the one shielding the man. What respect has he got for the forest?
Apart from Newmont, everyone else is doing illegal mining.
Illegal mining, yes. Newmont is the only company. And one thing, honestly, Newmont Achim has been awarded, has been given an award consecutively twice. Mm. Everything they said they are doing, they are doing it. Completely, they pay their taxes, they meet the chiefs, they communicate with us. Any little thing, they will let us know. I've been on the stool for 19 calendar years before, at that time they were doing the exploration. We don't have any qualms with them. But the illegal miners, they are the one. Even Newmont concession is being encroached upon. Newmont concession is being encroached upon. Some of the Galamseyers go there, cut their wires, enter there to go and steal their TVs and all those things, because they know they can do anything with impunity. Somebody is backing them. The tax force are backing them. They have guns. So how can a poor Newmont person see somebody taking a television and he's armed? You are an employee. You don't have anything. And they are law. They don't have to attack anybody. Just report to the police. So they go there and take...
And you are skeptical about the new approach announced by the Eastern Regional Minister that they are now... I mean, the plan is to rid the region of illegal miners.
Well, we are praying that we achieve it. But if somebody will give you clothing, look at how naked the person is. Mm. You see, speech is free. Nobody forces you when you come out with it. Is it not the same government which was banning excavators, who was taking excavators which were flying out of the country? Are we not going back again? Why did we wait at this time of the year? Why did we wait at this point in time? These are the questions we ask. But whatever they are doing, we are very thankful for them because we need their help. So we are not even going to leave them alone. We are going to work with them. Mm-hmm. I am the owner. I'm going to. I don't say we, because some of my sub-chiefs who are benefiting from my mines are also doing the galamseyers. They are going around to take money and taking them to the paramount.
So why don't you distill them?
It is not my duty. You see, if you don't understand the structure of chieftaincy, you'll be confused. And Kotoku's own is very confusing. I was given the sovereignty by my family. Mm. And then I decided to join the Kotoku Accord. It isn't like Ashanti where they fought and got the war. We joined the accord on our own volition.
Right.
Because we wanted to form a unity against the Ashantis or any perpetrator or infiltrators. That is the purpose of it.
Okay.
But now, the new one who came is so arrogant. But sometimes we realize that when you swallow your pisces and pompousos, it will give you constipation. We are ready to work. We are ready to serve. But the bullying is the issue. He is doing wrong, but he doesn't see that something is wrong. He said he has the power, so he can do what he wants.
I'll come back to wrap up with you, but this morning, the Fix the Country movement held a news conference to announce their demonstration aimed at putting pressure on government to fix the situation. Before we hear from them, though, here's Chief Veterinary Officer at the Veterinary Service Department, Dr. Emmanuel Aleji Kujo, raising concerns about the safety, the safety in terms of the quality of fishes that we have in the country. Listen.
Some time passed, veterinary services was concentrating more on terrestrial animals. But the time has come for us to change focus and pay more attention to aquatic animal health, because that is where our source of protein comes from. We all enjoy our fishes, name it the tilapia, the catfish, the amanis and the cobies. They are all aquatic animals. And the environment in which they live and reproduce and give us all this protein is being threatened by galamsey activities. Our water bodies are polluted with heavy metals and antimicrobials, which we have to actively survey and control so that we safeguard public health in this country.
Right, so we've also been joining the studio for further discussion on this convener for Democracy Hub of Fixing the Country, Ralph. William, Ralph, you're welcome. Thank you. Right, so now, as I wrap up with you, I mean, for you, what should be the way forward?
We want the government to stop this illegal mining as soon as possible before things get out of order. Now, he should let us have a consensus approach as to how best we can help the youth to earn a living. You see, idle mind is the devil's workshop. So these people are doing that because they don't have. But then if you teach them how to do it properly, we'll be have worked throughout all the continents of the world. I mean, I used to work with International Olympics, and I went throughout. And most of the countries, they are doing mining, but they are not doing it illegally. They are doing the corporate mining, where the people have been put together, they've been given assistance, they've been given training, they've been given a support, whereby they will be able to do it properly without destroying the river bodies. Personally, I would have preferred for them to go underground. In my area, the deposit is not high at the surface. Mm. You will get 0.9 grams per ton. As you go deeper, from about 25 meters down, you're getting about 3 grams per ton. And then as you go further, you go as much as 6, 7 grams per ton.
And that requires a lot of investment.
Yes, you see, I went to Germany when I was a professor, and I went to the files, Gold Coast prior to colonization. That was where the Germans were mining. And if you look at their exploration at that time, using the crude technology, and if they are able to identify and come out with these findings, then you know today with the scientific approach, this we use it digital, we can get more if you are able to do it and do it properly. Mm. So there is a future for every youth if they allow ourselves to come together and help them, mobilize them, give them the support, and make sure that they'll be able to earn a living which will not destroy the habitat, it will not destroy the water bodies, and it will not destroy our vegetation. That is it.
Thank you so much for coming through this afternoon. Nana Bancroft from the Adesina Traditional Area.
Thank you.
And we'll monitor the Eastern Regional approach to this matter, especially in your traditional area, and then report accordingly. Ralph, so you also held a news conference today. What exactly are you demanding?
Right. Thank you so much. I'm much grateful for having me here. Fix the Country, I've been fighting for a lot of things since this government came to power, but then we are actually demanding of the government to actually be responsible for his own words, for saying that he's going to put his presidency on the line. I think it is very much important that as a government and as an individual who is very responsible enough and want to leave a better legacy, should leave a good name before you go. It would be very much important if the president himself would have even come out and say, I'm resigning because I failed the people of this country. And it would have been fair, and it would at least give a perfect name
and history. Was such a move end the illegal mining?
Whoever that will be coming will know the responsibility ahead of him, because at least his predecessor has actually exhibited that level of responsibility. And if you fail, you know what to do. Far from that, someone is actually giving this mining lease to those people that are destroying our water bodies and our environment, which is very much disgusting that we put people in office for them to come and work for us, for them to come and protect that we have. And now it's clear, I don't have to say it, everybody is seeing it out there globally. And even in Ghana right now, when you move to these galamsey affected communities, they will tell you by themselves that things are not easy there. Even though, yes, they are making the money. What even hurts me the most has to do with one of the iconic rivers in Ghana, Kwame Nkrumah's River in Nkrofu. I was there last 2 weeks, and when you look at the level of deterioration of the river, it's heartbreaking. And we have somebody who actually gave a mining lease to a company or an individual to mine wherever it is. And as we speak, when you go to Nkrofu itself, I asked some of them, and they said they don't do galamsey there. It's far away from where they are doing the galamsey. But because the water bodies have been destroyed from some places or the sources of where the water is coming,
it is affecting them.
It's affecting them. So we are demanding that the minister designated for environmental and mineral resources should resign. And the forestry department, they have equally disappointed us greatly. And
so you are demanding the lands and natural resources minister to resign.
Exactly.
You are demanding the environment minister to resign.
Yeah, and the forestry department, forestry commissioner to also resign, because they have disappointed us. They've not been up to their responsibility of protecting our forest bodies. When Chief was speaking, he made mention of going deep and, you know, make sure you do the mining.
We underground mining.
Underground mining, not surface. I have witnessed, and I can go with your team to show them, a place where some individuals went there to do prospecting, and when they got certain amount of gold, they started calling in, and people started tripping in, and after 2-3 weeks, there was nothing to be found, and the whole land has been destroyed. The rivers there has been destroyed, yet they got nothing. So which research goes on? When these miners come to seek for the lease or consignments, how did they scrutinize them to know that these people, they merited for we to even give them the license or not? So it's like people are just giving licenses out for no checkout. They don't investigate nothing. You just come in and they give it to them, go and mine. And they go out there to destroy our water bodies.
But it doesn't look to me that the call for resignation you're going to get. But if beyond that, what else do you think must be done immediately? The government has announced new set of measures to contain this. Regional ministers have been tasked to deploy police and military to mining areas and stop what is happening. Few other issues that have been announced by government.
Let's be very honest to ourselves. This is clearly some part of the gimmicks they do. How much money haven't we spent already? Operation Galamstock. May you so rest well. It hurts me so much when I see individuals in government doing galamsey today, including a minister of state.
Who is that?
I can't really remember his name, but then he stood in parliament to say, yes, I know you, we are doing galamsey, we are destroying the water bodies, but you, the NDC, equally did same.
No, he says, I think you're referring to Arnold Dompré, the chief whip.
Okay.
I mean, there was argument about the destruction of our water bodies, and the argument was that when the NDC was in power, they did worse. They did worse in terms of protecting the river bodies.
Did it really matter for you to, as a responsible citizen at this critical moment, to admit that, okay, fine, you did the same, so if we are also doing now, you shouldn't complain or speak about it?
Basically, it was for want of a better
word,
needless. An irresponsible
statement. It was needless.
But, so, we are looking at solutions.
Now, the solution, that is why we are asking that the president would take a drastic decision now, if not him resigning. At least he appointed certain people to work for him, and those people have equally failed him as well. When I just heard Chief spoke about our fishes or the excerpt you played.
Yes, from the veterinary.
Yeah, that our fishes and all these things have been affected. Now let's ask ourselves, majority of our families out there in the US, in the UK, they call in and they ask for bush meat and dry meat and all those stuff. We are saying we are going to be drilling boreholes. And in fact, this is what majority of the galamseyers have been saying, that when they visit these communities, they drill boreholes for them. Let's ask ourselves, where does this rabbit and all those bush meat go and drink from? They don't have boreholes. They don't have pipe waters there. They drink from the same streams and rivers, which have been affected by the same galamsey. And the ministers of state, the Speaker of Parliament, the Chief of Staff, all of these people enjoy bush meat, and they are even forgetting themselves that at the end of the day, this same bush meat that are consuming or drinking from this same contaminated, poisonous water bodies, they are equally enjoying the pepper soup they are taking with the same poisonous substance.
On that.
So it is very much important that we all as a country hold it upon ourselves. Sometimes it hurts me with what you said right now, that you think it's not possible that government is going to agree to resign.
But the call has been made. They've rejected it. That's why I say that.
Yeah, but you may not get it. So if a call for us all. I think it's a very, you know, serious issue that we all... I don't think you've even thought of this bushmeat thing.
No, in fact, it's been a concern. I mean, exactly. The whole issue, because we've been on this matter, I mean... Experts, they've gone in to do their own research, and the conclusion is that, I mean, this thing can stay in the body for as long as it can. So, what consuming it, exposing you may be in Accra.
So don't you think that you are? I don't want to use that word because it will be an opportunity for people in government right now to also take advantage and do whatever they want to do. But this is an urgent moment that every single Ghanaian, in fact. This is the time we need to respect President Nana Akufo-Addo. I mean, Machiavelli needs to be respected for the first time. Let's be citizens. Citizens are not spectators. This is the time Ghanaians need to be citizens.
Okay, Ralph, so because of time and before I let you go, so, I mean, government responsibility is required in this matter. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
What about we Ghanaians who've also decided that regardless of the existence of law and regulations, we will undertake this illegality and destroy the environment and our water bodies?
There is no way in the world that laws and people not being forced to obliged by responsibilities and law can work. We can never take it out. So if we have a society where people in government can admit, even in the parliament house, it won't work. We need responsible leadership. We need pragmatic leadership. Leadership with responsibility that can take up, responsibility and say, hey, pick this person, go and check him, and if he falls short, jail him. Take this. Let's be very active. This is the time we need that kind of J.J. Rollins kind of leadership. And now it really hurts me so much. But we can't play around it.
All right.
We can't play around it. We really need serious leadership actions right now, and this is what we are calling for, and that is why we are asking the president to call the minister designated for mineral resources to resign as soon as possible as far as the forestry department is concerned. Thank you so much, Ralph.
And so the discussion on illegal mining will continue, but we'll take a short break here and return with more here on The Pulse.
Every day, people have money emergencies. Ma, I need my school fees emergency. Mommy, chop money emergency. Emergency.
Catch it. I'll be ready.
Emergency. Now, there's a new emergency number in town.
More money, challenge and enjoyment. At the top life we got.
Dial *770# for all your money emergencies and chop life.
Dial *770# for money emergencies and get easy and quick access to your money, loans, and other banking needs. Ecobank, the Pan-African Bank.
Now let me tell you why you should choose Safari Valley as your conference destination.
The new conference building combines modern amenities with the tranquility of nature, providing the perfect backdrop for your next seminar and corporate retreat.
The only conference destination with so many activities, you don't have to travel to visit your tennis club, the gym, or the stables. They have it all.
Enjoy this rooftop viewing deck, basking in the sunlight, with the sight of wild animals roaming freely in their natural habitat.
At my rate, I'm able to practice my putting.
It's a unique experience that sparks creativity and rejuvenates the mind.
Visit Safari Valley Eco Resort in Ghana, bringing you closer to nature.
You only cough, never cough, syrup, Clasbo, away, Clasbo, away. I don't cough, or you will tear a cake drop, I could call Bessa, Namibia, Minya, Womo, honey and ginger, Lake Christian Basso, Long Pepe, and Violet. You only cough, ever cough, syrup, Clasbo, away, Clasbo,
effective for relief from cough, sore throat, and throat irritation. New Honey Cough clears coho away. Manufactured and distributed by NS Chemist Limited. This advert is FDA approved.
In uncertain times, it can be hard to imagine yourself completing the SEMA professional qualification. But with our new digital-first learning and assessment platform, you can. The CGMA Finance Leadership Programme, or FLP, gives you control over your study progress. The CGMA FLP is a remote-based, self-paced learning platform that lets you qualify from home with online assessments and study support.
As the December 7th elections approach, peace is in your hands. It's time to hashtag ChoosePeaceGH. Join Joy News, Catholic Relief Services, and the National Peace Council for a national dialogue on sustaining peace beyond the elections, the role of the citizens. It's on Saturday, the 21st of September 2024 at 6 p.m. live on Joy News at Joy 99.7 FM, at joyonline.com, and all our social media handles. Tune in, engage, and let's hashtag ChoosePeaceGH together. Peace is not just a wish, it is a responsibility. Hashtag ChoosePeaceGH. This dialogue is brought to you with funding from the Netherlands Ministry of Foreign Affairs under the Prevention of Violent Extremism through Social Accountability Project.
Media freedoms must not be taken for granted. They have to be constantly justified, constantly reaffirmed, and constantly strengthened. We need the media badly in a growing democracy. There must be the trade of ideas when it comes to the politics, and the attacks on journalists certainly must stop. As a lawyer who defends journalists who have been assaulted, I can say that the circumstance is worrying and it has to stop. Defend media freedoms. I am Samson Ladi Anyenini.
The luckiest
*712#
luck is everywhere.
8K.
Hey,
you get an 8K.
Get the packing from your cookman. One lie.
Hey,
wait.
You go put it on his staff. This is my man.
Good luck.
Bill Radio. We are *712#.
I'm on dialing the magic numbers. *712#.
Now welcome to the luckiest.
And now with me at home ticket.
You can buy for yourself or your loved one.
Ah, mommy, tell mommy who's here.
You're buying for me, right?
Or who else?
Oh.
Choose buy ticket for others.
Love you, boo boo.
You know, maybe straight to option 4.
Now we tell you. You need to buy tickets worth 50 Ghana to call it.
Yes,
you can buy random or preferred tickets.
I'm choosing random ticket. That's it.
Listen, if you buy the random ticket, the system chooses a random number for you. But if you buy the preferred, you get to input your own preferred 5 digits. 5.
Baby, give me your 5 numbers.
And how much are we buying?
Babe, look at the body and buy you.
With your body, I...
Hey,
Bema, tread cautiously. Now follow the prompt.
The luckiest.
The
luckiest is regulated by the NLA on the Caritas platform, not for persons below 18 years. TLCs apply.
Welcome back. This is a pause here on Joy News. Now, last week, the Electoral Commission received as many as 24 applications from persons seeking to run for president of Ghana when elections take place in December. we have just 80 days to go, but news from the grapevine has it that almost all the applicants have had issues requiring the EC to ask for further work to be done on them. Amongst the candidates is Dr. Sam Ankrah, who is running as an independent, you know, presidential candidate. He joins me for a conversation about the nomination, filing process, and matters arising. Dr. Ankrah, it's good to have you here. First time we're having this conversation, even though I've heard so much about you. I've seen your billboards. I've heard your radio and television. And, you know, you've added some fire to the electoral process.
Elton, thanks for having me. Again, same here. I heard great things about you. I only see you on TV, so it's an opportunity, and I'm grateful for you to have me here this afternoon.
Before you walked in, we were talking about illegal mining. I don't know what your position is on this very important matter.
I mean, first of all, I'm joining that demonstration.
Okay.
Because that thing is dear to my heart. The environment and anything around it is so dear to my heart. So I'm going to take the numbers of these guys and I'll join that demonstration because it's about time. Look, clearly, do we indeed have leaders in this country? This is a pure systematic failure and leadership failure at all levels. It's pathetic.
Why do you say that?
I mean, come on. How can we live in a country and with all the governance structures we have in place, we can see this in our country. Water bodies have been destroyed, poisoned. Cyanide, lead, mercury. These are very poisonous stuff that are put in the water. Look, if we're not careful, and the people say 5-3 years, if we're not careful, within the next year, we'll start importing water. And that is a very sad situation. We're destroying ourselves as a nation. Our leadership has to stand up. The gimmicks is too much. The politicking. This galamsey money is what is funding this politics that we are in. And that is why people like us are suffering even to get, coverage for the things we do. Because both sides of the equation are banging on it, going everywhere, destroying our environment, destroying our forest reserves, and we're not doing anything about it.
You say that there's lack of political will.
Absolutely.
For the current administration.
Their back falls on the government and they have failed miserably. It's about time they come and apologize to Ghanaians and ask Ghanaians for consensus and put a proper solution to it. I, Sam Ankrah, would outrightly ban galamsey, small-scale mining.
Would that be easy? I mean, the call has been made.
Listen.
Government is reluctant to announce a complete ban. We are yet to hear same from your other colleagues. When I talk about other colleagues, those who are running to become president of this country.
I have said it, and I've said it over and over again. The change that we require requires radicalism. The status quo or the old ways of doing things is no more an option. If we indeed want to solve Ghana problems and create systems and structures that would work for us and build something for us and the generations yet unborn, then we've got to start revisiting the way we do things. There's no more pity party and all these style of saying one thing and going to the back room and doing other things. We need action. And I'm saying, given the opportunity, I will outrightly ban small-scale mining until such time where we have systems and structures that work and have punitive measures to people before we give license to that.
All right, so we'll take you on your word and hope that when you become president after December 7, we'll see some action on that front.
Absolutely. But I can promise Ghanaians that.
But, I mean, before we get to that, though, I mean, the elections is in December, and the album that the Electoral Commission will use for the election is in contention here. The NDC held a demonstration across the country yesterday demanding an audit of the voters' register. I don't know your position on this call.
Isn't it what we've been seeing every day? Where MPP is in power, they say one thing. NDC say one thing. And where NDC is in power, they say the same thing and nothing happens. Isn't this a status quo that has gone on? Look, the voters' role is the bedrock of our democracy.
Right.
For us to get anywhere with this democracy, we need to have a confident voters' role. If anybody calls for audit, and indeed is a qualified, call, what stops everybody from joining to make it right? I think transparency is a key to the success of all this that we're doing. I don't think anybody has to hold iron fixed on this. If they require for audit, audit it for everybody to see. Get an independent person to audit it. However, the EC is saying to them, come sit on the table. Go sit with them. Make your grievances heard. Put your stuff on the table. But ensure that that is done. This ways of always trying to sabotage each other creates the picture that they are fighting each other. In the end, they are all thinking the same and doing the same thing is what is taking our country to this ditch. Both NDC and MPP think alike, and they do the same thing. If Ghanaians indeed are looking for any change in governance, in any style of way of doing things, they got to shed out this MPP-NDC system and look for an alternative government, some ankara, and choose so that we can come and set systems that will stand the test of time and provide prosperity for all.
You think that we've gotten to a stage in our political life where we can overlook the MPP and the NDC and then settle on an independent candidate who may not have any parliamentary backing?
Elton, we've got 32 years of Fourth Republic.
Right.
Yes. NDC had 16 years. MPP had 16 years. It took Singapore 32 years to move from a third world to a first world. Think about it. Are we on the right course? So if we're not on the right course, what are we doing as citizens? It's about time we sit back and analyze the situation critically and think and make the right decision. Keeping doing the same thing over and over again will not bring us any change. The time has come in Ghana politics, and it's now for Ghanaians to look for an alternative and a way of doing our business.
But what really should influence the voters, their choice of a leader? I mean, you made a point about Singapore. Argument can be made about Dubai 50 years ago, and Dubai would be a small fishing community. But it took the ingenuity of somebody, and now Dubai is the center of world tourism and attraction. Ours appears to be taking one step further and then three steps backwards. So the question really is, those who are so attached to their political ideology to the extent that they are finding it difficult to look at other options. In this crucial election, as some people have described it, what should they look out for?
I want to tell my fellow Ghanaians, in these days of hardship, nobody goes into the supermarket with a party card and say, I'm MPP, so I'm gathering tomatoes, onions, and everything, and go home and eat. We are suffering, and everybody is suffering. Ghanaians are going through some of the harshest economic conditions, and that doesn't discriminate between MPP or NDC. It should tell you that the political colors or symbols is not what is going to bring us the economic freedom or bring us economic prosperity. It requires skills, selfless leadership, pragmatic leadership, leadership by action. These are the qualities that one has to look for. Greg Mills wrote a book, Why Africa is Poor. He says, Africa is not poor, not because of aid per se. It's not because of slave trade or colonization. Africa is poor because of wrong leaders that we've been choosing. Ghanaians, hearing my voice this afternoon, let's critically analyze the backgrounds of the leaders that we're choosing. What have they done? What do they bring on the table? And why do we think we should give them a $79 billion economy to run? These are critical questions that I'm asking Ghanaians to start asking before we get to the ballot December 7th.
All surveys that we've witnessed, the economy ranks high among all other considerations that people want to see improvement. The economy has always been number one reason why the electorate or an electorate will vote for this party or the other. Now, yesterday, for example, this Ghanaian actor, Blankson, in the U.S., I don't know whether you have heard the story. Now, he went on ranting that he built a school and then invested in the country's, some of the coupons with the hope that the money he will get from that investment will help run the school, only to be told that he has to take a haircut of a certain percentage and then get his money back after some years. And he's livid because he concludes that he's been shortchanged.
Elton, I mean, this is a level of incompetence I talk about. And when I say that, I'm not trying to downgrade any other leaders. They've done what they're supposed to do. But if you don't know, there's not much you can do. If you believe you have just lithium alone, 170 billion worth of lithium underground, with a competence report done by a qualified corporation, that is a bankable document.
Right.
Why do you go and borrow 3 billion and haircut pensioners and people like this gentleman? Clearly, we've lost the plot. We don't know what we're doing. I also had a fund that looked after emerging markets, and I was leading the fund. I have sat down with leaders in the emerging markets, from Africa to South America to Asia to the Far East and all these places. When policies are proposed and systems are presented, you realize that these other countries like Brazil and who had come out of poverty, and South Americans, and also the places in the Far East, Indonesia, and all these places, they listen, they follow the structures, and the economies grow, and they get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Africa alone is like a mouse mentality. You know what that means? You put a bait in here, a little sardine on, the father mouse will go in, the same trap will get it, the mother mouse will go in, the same trap will get it, the kids, the brother, the sisters, the same bait, the same trap gets everybody. It seems that is what happened in Africa. We are all doing the same mistakes. When Ghana found oil, we had seen the mess in Nigeria. We have seen the mess in Angola. We have seen the mess in Equatorial Guinea. Mm-hmm. We've seen the mess in Gabon. We saw the success in Norway. We saw the success in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. Why did we choose to go the Nigerian and other people's way? So these are the critical questions again.
But
I would want Ghanaians to start asking.
But I'm also interested in your solutions, because, I mean, since 1992, every government, be it in government or in opposition, they've all maintained the fact that the structure of our economy must change. We must move from import-led to, you know, export-led economy. It has always remained in theory. In terms of the practicality of it, we are yet to see. So what would be your solution? I mean, with experience from, you know, working outside of the country.
Excellent. And again, you're asking some very, very important questions, and I hope Ghanaians are listening. Why can't they take these decisions, even though they know on paper that's the right thing for us?
Right.
We have leaders or parties that get themselves incumbent even before they get to governance. Ask the NDC and the MPP, how do they fund their parties when they're in opposition? Is this same corporations that we're talking about are the ones that fund them? So if you get yourself incumbent, tied up, you get to governance, you cannot make the right policies and processes that would change the country. That is the reason why we produce twice as much crude oil than we use,
mm-hmm.
and yet everything produced is exported at the high sea, and nothing comes through the country, and we have to import as high as 3,000% of the value, depreciating our currency, importing inflation, not creating jobs for our people, no value added, no transfer of technology. All these being based missed out because our leaders are taking money from parties, even in opposition, or from corporations that are doing things that are not benefiting Ghanaians. Mm-hmm. Sam Ankara is saying the status quo is no more an option. Given the opportunity, we would process 100% of every iota of raw material we produce in our country, starting from the crude oil.
Mm.
I'm promising Ghanaians, first 90 days of my administration, we will sign an MOU to put another 200,000 barrels a day refinery. This and other major policy-driven projects is what we intend to do, so that we can kill this issue once and for all. The cosmetic way of solving our problems would not bring the freedom that the Ghanaians are looking for.
But again, you see that even on the issue of the refinery, the idea may have been there from the onset. That's why, perhaps that explains why Tema Oil Refinery was set up. But it's been underutilized for all these years.
Deliberately, or? So clearly, like I said, certain agendas are being pushed. Look at the importation that we are having. We live in a country where when you leave a fruit seed on the side of the road, you come back a week or two after it's germinated. Fertile soil. Do you know Ghana has 10 times the arable size of London, New Zealand? And yet New Zealand produces more than 15 times more than Ghana. Have you asked these questions? Why are Ghanaians not asking these basic questions? It's because certain people are benefiting from this stifling of the economy. They are gaining from importing these products, holding cartels and cabals, preventing Ghanaians from getting access to what they want. This is what Sam Ankara is looking to stop for this country. Until we stop these things, let's stop the gimmicks. NDC MPP is a joke. Nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to change.
And you expect that these words will get to the ears of the electorates to give you the chance that you require?
I'm hoping so, and I require people like you to help. We've been swallowed in this campaign. Journalists and stations and radio stations and all these cameras are more interested in taking concerts and shouting on platforms and jubilations and Kim Palute songs than having intelligent conversations that Ghanaians will be educated and know that, look, the problems we are in can be solved if we take the right decisions.
Apart from the economy, the other concern for a lot of Ghanaians is youth unemployment and education. Let's stay a little longer on youth unemployment. And if you have a country where every year the universities in the country contribute almost 300,000 to the job market every year, and we cannot even employ them. And then we are happy to say that we are even exporting, you know, nurses and other medical professionals abroad, and we count it as an achievement. What does this say to you? When you go to the hinterlands, you virtually have no health professional, sometimes minus some of the health facilities that we have. It boils down to the fact that our economy is not strong enough to possibly accommodate everybody. So youth unemployment, I don't know your plan in fixing it.
Sam Ankara is in the race because of the youth. Mm-hmm. If it's not for the youth, I'll probably be sitting in my little corner retiring and enjoying my life as a young person. As young as I am, I could retire this age. The situation with the youth is very dire. And I believe drastic measures has to be taken. Over and above build an industry to take a big chunk of the people, I'm also calling for a nationwide apprenticeship where professionals like architects, quantity surveyors, barbers, hairdressers, and so forth would have young people understudying for a period. Now, the beauty of this concept is the owners of the business would have the leeway to enjoy the service or the labor of these people whilst government pays the salaries of these guys as long as they are under the apprenticeship program. So after a period, 3 to 5 years, they come out of it, they graduate, they set up their own, and similar structures are being put in place. So you realize that you mutate, and people are acquiring real skills and handiworks that they can set up on their own and create businesses and flourish. At the same time, you are creating an enabling economic environment so that they will not just come out, they don't even have funding to set up these businesses, but all these are done concurrently in concert with the program. So we want to do that. We're looking to get aggressively to industrialize, to mechanize agriculture. Again, the mechanized agriculture is structured in such a way that we bring in technology, we create enabling environment. These are our land tenure issues that have been a canker eating into investment into agriculture. We would make sure that we'll kill it once and for all. Government, my administration, AFA administration would promise any industrial or any mechanized farmer a period of time as long as they acquire the land from any litigation or any influences from elsewhere. All these are enabling environment you want to create. Once you do that, you create an enabling environment, you invite technology to come in, the banks are open to fund. The reason why the banks are reluctant at this stage is they don't want to give money to Elton today. You start a project, and then whilst you're in the middle of it, somebody comes and put an injunction. The bank's money is improbable.
Right.
So these are the issues that we need to address. It's not a matter of advertising, come invest in Ghana. Investments are not attracted into a destination because of how you publicize it, but they send their experts on the ground to study the environment, to work, to find out whether it's enabling enough or not. So it's not your advert, it's what's on the ground. And these are the issues that we're going to handle head on to create opportunity. By so doing, we're going to create jobs for our young people, we're going to equip them with skills, and we're going to make sure that the economy will flourish at the back of the private sector, which should be the engine of growth and not government.
Somebody just sent me a text and is asking that, listening to you and the fact that you had a very good job, why would you leave the flourishing job that you had to come and compete in an election that would be extremely difficult to hold?
Elton, it gets to a point where a generation has to live for the other.
Mm.
And I believe now is the time. I believe that if we... It's easier. And again, the middle class and the upper class are those who have caused this country to be... I blame them. They have to take their responsibility as well. Because they're comfortable. They sit on the corner. And majority of Ghanaians are suffering.
Mm.
It's done on this generation to fight and save the soul of a lost destiny of a country and build something for this generation and the generation unborn.
Mm.
And that is the only reason why someone like me gets jumping on the fray to muddy myself and obtain this freedom and build a legacy for the next generation unborn.
So, Zanka, before we wrap up, I don't know whether you've gotten that call from the EC about your nomination forms.
Well,
if you haven't gotten the call, it means everything is okay.
Well, I suppose everything is okay. I haven't had any call yet. There were a few issues initially, but we resolved everything as far as we're concerned. But I mean, nothing here. Why is it that...
There be concerns about the cumbersome nature of the...
It's very cumbersome. And again, the 21st century, 2024, with all these digital systems, why do we have to be doing handwritten, what do you call, endorsement and so forth? Whereas the EC can create a platform where two people from each district can go online and say, I nominate Sam Ankara, these are my details and so forth. Online, I have to go online and do my application. Look, we got to make use of technology so that we can have efficiency and take away and bring transparency as well. Because the reason why people are complaining about all these things of EC putting responsibility blames on them and so forth is because the system is not transparent enough. We are not using technology, and it allows human factor to come in. And once that gets in there, the trust issues breaks up. I am advising the EC, get onto technology. We're in 2024. Don't sit down and wait. There are a lot of platforms and systems. Bring Ghanaian boys together. Let them set up a platform, an app for you. Use it so that it will make our work easier, so that you gain credibility, and then the whole system also moves on. Let me say again, our electoral role, the Electoral Commission's role, is so key to this democracy, and there's nothing that we should do to compromise it.
Okay. My camera is on you. Speak to the 60 million voters that will be deciding the fate of this country on December 7th.
Fellow Ghanaians, once again, I've come to you this afternoon for the best part of the 4 years of NDC or MPP. There's always a lot of noise. People are clamoring for change of government. A lot of the things that you've been promised they will do, they get in and nothing happens. 2 days after elections, you go back to the same situation. All because we're not choosing the right leadership and the style of governance that we have don't change, whether it's NDC or MPP. That is why Sam Ankara has put himself on the fray this time to contest and looking for your votes. If indeed you are looking for work, if indeed you are going through hardships, if indeed your healthcare system is messed up and you are looking for a change, then I advise you or I urge you to vote for Sam Ankara. But if you are very comfortable and you are enjoying life and everything is going well for you, then Sam Ankara is not for you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sam Ankara. He's an independent presidential candidate for the December 7th general elections. And of course, we are building up to the election. This is your election headquarters. Now, let's move away from the election headquarters and talk about power or electricity. The Public Utilities Regulatory Commission, PURC, has issued a stark warning that the Electricity Company of Ghana is on the verge of bankruptcy due to severe financial difficulties. In a letter addressed to the presidency, the energy, the finance ministers, and other key stakeholders, PRC Executive Secretary Dr. Ishmael Akap revealed that the crisis is also affecting the operations of VRA, Gridco, and Bui Power Authority, causing delays in salary payments and challenges in covering administrative costs. We have more for you, but first listen to the Managing Director of ECG, Samuel Dubik Mahama, on the state of affairs at the power company.
In a business, you need money to run a business. And if you've been given a business where you are to sell and collect, if you don't sell and collect, you can't put anything back in the system. Do not forget, what we sell and collect under the cash waterfall system is how IPPs are paid. It's how the other SOEs, the VRAs, the Gridcos, the PURCs, the Ghana Gas, the GMPCs, everybody has their allocation under cash waterfall. So we have to find a way to close the gap to make the whole system whole, because we are at the bottom of the food chain. The responsibility is on us to fix the problem. It's a holistic approach. If we do not raise enough money, we will not get enough money to fix it. You know, and the funny thing is that these are not operational expenses. These are capital expenditure. Until ECG is a company that has not been capitalized since 2007. All these new reforms that you've been seeing for the past 2 years since I've been in office have been us trying to be creative in using our operational expenditure to close the gaps. So all we do need is a conversation around the whole table saying that, hey, you cannot be doing this anymore. This is the capital expenditure that needs to be put in. Value this, value that, and let's talk around the big table to find that kind of money to solve some of these technical issues.
Well, Joy News has a copy of the letter, and we'll bring that to you on your screens. But let me bring in John Jinapo, ranking member on the Mines and Energy Committee in Parliament. JJ, you're welcome to the post.
Thank you.
So you had time to go through this letter, addressed to the presidency and, of course, other interest groups regarding this issue of the electricity company of Ghana. PLC paints a picture that doesn't look good. And even in this letter, makes reference to what took place in Kenya, in Tanzania, and in Uganda, and how they managed to turn around the power company. And appears to suggest that perhaps we should also adopt same strategy. Is this something that you agree?
Absolutely. Let me commend the PUFC for being transparent and for sounding the alarm bells. Because as the economic regulator, it is the duty of the economic regulator to sound the alarm bells when things are going wrong. You don't need a soothsayer to tell you that the energy sector is collapsing. You don't need somebody to tell you the energy sector is crumbling. In 2022 alone, ECG posted a loss of over $10 billion. That has to be paid by the shareholder. In this case, that is government. Currently, as we speak, government owes over $1.8 billion from power that has been consumed and not paid for. Mm. And this is captured in the cash waterfall mechanism as published by the Public Utilities and Regulatory Commission. Today, due to very bad policy decisions, the gas infrastructure that we claimed when MPP assumed office, that the Mahama-led government left so much gas that they were paying capacity charges on unused gas, the gas is no more adequate to power our thermal plants. And so government is procuring $40 million of light crude oil every month. Mm. Using ECG, most of which has been procured on credit and not paid for. The letter, as you read, tells you that ECG collects only 42% of the required amount to pay the sector.
Right.
How can you have an energy sector where you can't even collect 50% of the required revenue? The Ugandan agreement or Ugandan method that you just mentioned, I led a team when I was deputy minister to Uganda to study the Ugandan concession by UMEME. We went to Kenya, we went to Tanzania, we went to India and studied all their ways of collection. They are doing about 98%.
Absolutely.
And that is why we brought on the PDS agreement to reduce the losses and collect 92%. This same government, using their cronies, using their family and friends, attempted to swindle the Republic, only came back and told us that they were presented with a fake bank or insurance guarantee. And today, look at where we find ourselves. Look, it is really, really serious. Whoever assumes office as next government will be assuming a debt rating, infrastructure dilapidated, aging equipment in the energy sector, and it will take a lot of effort and a lot of work to bring back the energy sector on its legs, because even in the petroleum sector, petroleum production has declined by more than 30%. Hake has left Ghana. ExxonMobil has left Ghana. ENI is in a tussle with the Republic of Ghana. And so nobody has confidence, even in the petroleum sector. Look, my brother, beyond the politics, this government has decimated the energy sector and is really, really terrible.
So JJ, if you support this recommendation for a possible privatization, should it be partial or 100% private-owned entity to bring the kind of efficiency that you want to see in ECG? Mind you, ECG says that since 2007, there's never been capitalization for the entity. And so whatever has been done from 2007 up until now has been through the ingenuity of the workers themselves.
You don't need to capitalize ECG. ECG must make profits. When they make the profit, they will convert that profit into equity. As they convert it to equity, they use that to capitalize the utility. And don't forget, when we're leaving office in 2016, they made a profit of more than 300 million cedis. So they were making some very good profits and were on the path of recovery. RIDCO also posted profit of about 70 million. VRA was doing well. Almost all the energy sector SOEs were turning around and posting very impressive and significant results. So the problem is not government injecting money. You can't inject money into a leaking basket. The problem is the unnecessary political interference, the corruption that has engulfed the sector. And so you don't need to sell ECG's assets. And let me put on record that President Mahama has assured that he would not sell any of the assets, be it VRA plants, ECG plants, or Great Coast plants. Rather, ECG's problem is billing and collection. And that can be done through a concession. And so by bringing in the private sector to assume the billing and collection element and giving them some KPIs, you would significantly reduce the losses within a short time. And that can have a pass-through effect as far as the transmission and the generation sector is concerned.
The other aspects, I mean, going through this letter, is the revelation that because of ECG's, you know, inability to collect as much as, you know, is expected of them, it has led to the situation where the other players in the industry, VRA, Bui, and RIDCO, some of them are finding it difficult to even pay salaries of their workers and meet other administrative. I know you are in a very privileged position. How die is this particular pronouncement that salary payment is even an issue for some of them?
Yes, it is so serious that RIDCO in particular, sometimes for 10 days, they are unable to pay their workers. And they have to go for expensive bank overdrafts. And even with the bank overdraft, they've not been able to service the bank overdraft. And so most banks are now declining to advance such overdrafts to RIDCO. So if you're unable to pay even salaries, how are you able to buy consumables, let alone invest in the infrastructure, which requires significant money? Look, ENI is threatening to draw down on the last part of the LC, which is backed by the World Bank. They've drawn more than $300 million, and they are just at the threshold of about $120 million. If they go beyond that threshold, it means that technically, Ghana has defaulted. Right from the oil sector to the distribution sector, throughout the energy value chain, every sector is collapsing, every sector is crumbling, every sector is not responding. And I'm telling you for a fact that it is because of the corruption and few people related to the president who've hijacked the energy sector and milking it dry.
So basically, it's about the political interference, and not because we don't have efficient, you know, workforce at ECG, for example.
The workers are hardworking. If you get the right leadership, if you get the right policies, and you put in place the right mechanism, they will deliver the result. Take Tor, for instance. Look at the number of MDs that Tor has had in just 7 years. About six MDs. How can they settle? And anytime somebody is removed, you would hear that it's over some controversy with this same cabal of people. I mean, why? We never heard this under President Mahama. President Mahama also had family. So I think that the problem is leadership. And I'm talking about the political leadership. If they get it right, set the right targets, and put in place the right framework, at least we'll begin to see some improvement.
Mr. Inapo, before I let you go, final question. This is also basically related. I mean, at the heart of all this, money issues is a cash waterfall mechanism. Now, just another correspondence we have intercepted is the PRC call for a review of the cash waterfall mechanism, and they're asking for submissions. They say that they are looking at revenue issues, and they give the breakdown of what is happening, the challenges that they are facing, and goes on to say that following the adoption of the revised CWM, ECG was expected to make monthly payments to the various stakeholders based on approved monthly model. However, since the inception of the revised CWM, ECG has not complied with the guidelines of the new CWM as directed by the president, therefore defeating the principle of fair and equitable revenue allocation to sector players. And the lack of transparency is what is following this. They are asking for, they make reference to the exchange rate discrepancies. Ministry of Finance also reluctance to pay the $10 million monthly top-up obligation under the cash waterfall mechanism. And they are asking for input by Monday in a way to find a solution to this rather, you know, very important matter. I've looked at those. They've sent correspondence. I didn't see, you know, the Mines and Energy Committee. But this is your area. What should be done in this regard?
Even though they didn't copy the Mines and Energy Committee, I have all the documents. And we get every correspondence. For the regulator to throw his hands in the air and sound his alarm is worrying. Firstly, why would the president even unilaterally decide that they would vary the cash waterfall mechanism and come up with a revised one? That should be done by the PRC and not the presidency. And that is the political interference I'm talking about. Even the revised one, ECG is not abiding by the revised one. Since July, they've been doing their own thing, paying for fuel directly, not reporting to the cash waterfall mechanism. And so since July, PRC has not been able to publish the cash waterfall mechanism. And that is why President Mahama has sent a strong warning that on assumption of office, we shall conduct a detailed forensic audit of all these utilities and ensure that we reset everything so that we can work well. Because as it stands, they are not following the cash waterfall mechanism and its tenets. They are not reporting. PRC doesn't even have the figures. And in such level of opacity, in such level where even information is not forthcoming, the first thing about governance is transparency. And if the system is not transparent, you can imagine what will be happening behind the scenes. It's so, so unfortunate. And I feel very sad. The energy sector, which was promising, it's crumbling today.
Mr. Jampo, what suggestion will you make? I mean, this is something that is very crucial to the PRC.
Well, my quick suggestion is that they make all the information available to the PRC. It may be too late. We have just about 2 months elections. And so a lot normally would not happen with 2 months elections. But at least, let's all have a fair understanding of the state of the energy sector. ECG has not been able to publish its financials in accordance with law and in accordance with the Public Financial Management Act. They should have done that within 3 months in 2024. We are moving into October and they've not published their financial. I think that the true state of the energy sector should be known so that when we assume office, we can deal with the challenges. This idea of sweeping things under the carpet and trying to hide figures will not help anybody.
All right. John Jinapo is ranking member on the Mines and Energy Committee. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon. And of course, we've been looking at the PRC correspondence to the presidency, demanding certain things are done. Now, fishermen in Dambai are now navigating the Oti River safely thanks to weather updates from the Ghana Meteo Agency. Now, with 3 days forecast and radio warnings, They can plan their trips better and avoid a boat accident that once plagued the area. Mahmoud Mohammed Nuruddin has more in our Climate Focus series.
Ajete Mawuwe, now 53 years, began his fishing career at the tender age of 7. However, he decided to retire from fishing about 10 years ago, putting away his boat and net for good.
7 years ago. After my father's passing at age 7, I was cared for by various people, which led me to learn fishing. I grew up in Kwame Krum and later Yeji, both places with strong winds and waves. In Yeji, the weather was particularly unpredictable, with sudden rainstorms. To survive, we had to act quickly, often abandoning our nets and fleeing to safety, hoping to return another day with the means to replace our lost gear.
Ajete explains that the traditional weather forecasting methods they relied on were no longer effective due to shift in weather patterns. He shares challenges faced as a result, including close calls and difficult experiences on the water. However, things have improved significantly.
Although radio announcements warn of approaching rainstorms, many fisher folks like myself don't have access to radio sets or ignore the warnings, putting us at risk. However, the introduction of weather forecasts has significantly reduced accidents on the lake, as those who do listen can take necessary precautions.
Okay.
I am Kofi Yamba from Dambai, and I've spent the last 30 years working on this lake. My fishing journey began when I was just 6 years old, learning from my father. Growing up, we didn't have access to radio sets, so our fathers relied on traditional methods to predict weather changes. Whenever they sense a change in weather, we would promptly seek shelter in a nearby community to ensure our safety.
36-year-old Kofi Yamba and his fellow fishermen are no longer taking risk by relying on unpredictable weather conditions. They credit Ghana Meteorological Agency's weather forecast for providing more accurate and reliable information, allowing them to make informed decisions and stay safe on the water.
The weather forecast on the radio has been incredibly helpful to me. For instance, I recall a recent occasion when I was heading to the farm and heard a forecast on the radio warning of heavy rain. I promptly decided to return home, and sure enough, it rained. The timely warning allowed me to avoid getting caught in the downpour. Radio weather forecasts have saved us from water-related disasters. Staying informed with reliable weather information and acting on it can help you stay one step ahead of potential dangers and avoid being caught off guard.
In May 2023, a tragic incident occurred at Fana Weaboma, an island community in the Gaza-South municipality of the Greater Accra region, when a canoe carrying school children returning from school capsized, resulting in the deaths of at least 9 children. The canoe was being paddled by a 12-year-old student who claimed he could navigate the river safely. In a separate incident in September 2023, two fishing canoes capsized while attempting to enter the Volta River, leaving crew members missing.
Macy's is here to help you shift seasons in style. Shop fall wardrobe must-haves like matching knit sets and dresses, quilted jackets and puffers for her, and vintage-inspired sweaters he'll love. And Macy's has great deals on home essentials like cozy blankets and throws and modern kitchen appliances. Plus, Star Rewards members earn rewards on every purchase except gift cards, services, and fees. Learn more at Macy's.com/StarRewards today at Macy's.
less than 2 years since the last canoe accident in Dambai, but residents still remember the devastating loss of a woman's life. Although her child was rescued, Kofi shares his account of this heartbreaking event.
Andrew, 2 years, kura na accident bi kura siwa, eno kura eyoba ni akwada kituwa bi.
It's been less than 2 years since the devastating canoe accident happened here, resulting in the tragic death of a woman while her 12-year-old child was fortunate enough to be rescued. I'm unsure if they were unaware of the weather forecast or not, but it's a sobering reminder of the importance of staying informed about weather conditions.
So my name is Israel Tosu, the morning show host of Futi Radio, and we've been doing the weather forecast.
OTFM has been a trustworthy source of weather updates for the fishing community. The host of the morning show, Israel Tosu, emphasizes their commitment to keeping residents informed about weather changes, helping them stay prepared and safe in the face of unpredictable weather patterns.
All right, so that's a very beautiful report there. I mean, technology helping fisher folks to navigate to bad weather. Well, that's our show for today. There's more stories on myjoyonline.com. NDC to win in 11 regions, MPP to suffer dip in Ashanti. That's one of the survey that just came out. We've got the PRC, we've got former President John Kufuor talking about disability and other matters. Well, folks, that's our show for today. Whatever you are up to in the hours ahead, I hope it's profitable. Tomorrow, same time, we'll be here with the Thursday edition of The Pulse. Until then, take care. My name is Elton Gobe. Have a good evening.